So I found some good news this week. The title read, "Low-carb diets are associated with lower life expectancy." You read it too. Studies suggest low-carb diets associated with lower life expectancy, studies suggest. Well, how is that good news? Well, to some of you, it's obvious. That must mean that carbohydrate-rich diets are associated with higher life expectancy. Something like that. That is more than good news. That's great news. Bring on the bread. Although we know how these things work, don't we? Likely next month there will be another study suggesting that low-carb diets are in fact quite good for life expectancy. But for this month, for the rest of the summer, let's enjoy our carbs to the fullest degree. May the words of my heart and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. This has been a carb-rich month here at church, in our scripture readings as well. And actually, really, at church, we've had lots of lunches and barbecues going on this summer, so it's been a nice carb-rich summer at church. But if you've been following along over the last few weeks, you may have noticed a strong theme of bread coming out. There's been mention of bread from heaven, manna. We've heard the story of how Jesus fed the multitudes to their fill with only a few pieces of bread on hand. Last week after church, as I was tidying up from our campfire, I was confused by this huge bowl of bread that just kind of appeared just out in the garden room. That is until someone said, "It's from Norm's sermon." Ah, yes. Jesus calls himself the bread of life. And then today, Janice has read Jesus' words about the bread that he offers for eternal life. And again from Proverbs, Lady Wisdom calls out, "Come, eat of my bread." In that last reading that Janice read from Proverbs 9, we are firmly and beautifully in the realm of metaphor, with layers upon layers of meaning. And so we're invited to stay there a little bit and let the metaphors be metaphors, let them be full of meaning, and begin to discover a little bit of what they're talking about. So for example, the bread that Wisdom offers reminds us of the manna that God sent in the desert to sustain God's wandering people, a layer of meaning. And it reminds us of that time that God sustained a widow and her son by providing her with a miraculously unending supply of flour and oil. Or another time when King David, he wasn't king yet, took bread from the altar to feed his companions at a desperate moment. Or it might remind us of that bread, that very special bread, that was shared again and is shared at Passover meals. Wisdom, though, is preparing a feast. Bread is just one part of it. She's not just preparing a small meal, a meager meal. No, she's not even just preparing something like a Thanksgiving dinner, like a well-laid-out Thanksgiving dinner, cooking her turkey, putting candles and fall-themed napkins on the table. No, she is preparing a feast that's fit for kings and queens and royalty of all sorts. She has built her house. She has hewn seven pillars. We don't really have pillars, but it makes me think of this space. She's not just cooking the meal. She's built the home, the building, where that meal is going to be served from. And it's opulent. It's got seven pillars, which means that it has enough pillars to hold up a very large home. And those seven pillars, that's what some ancient cosmologies pointed to as holding up the earth itself. Wisdom has crafted her house a great and splendid place to hold a great and splendid feast. And she has slaughtered her animals. First she's a carpenter, now she's a butcher. And the feast is taking shape. I'm imagining, I can almost smell it, that smell of a charcoal barbecue with meat sizzling away, that smoky aroma getting in there and giving it that rich, earthy taste. Except that this feast is more than a barbecue. In a time when meat was rare food for common people, the meat that she is cooking indicates that this is going to be a lavish event. She has mixed her wine and she has set her table. From building her house to mixing her wine, Lady Wisdom has left no detail unattended to. There she is, you can see her, making sure that each place setting is laid out perfectly, fussing about in the best possible way. Just a few special touches, adjust that glass, straighten that fork, and the meal is ready. And the invitations are ready to go out. And so Lady Wisdom sends out her servant girls. But she also goes out and calls from the highest places in town, "Turn in here. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed." Sounds like a party that I want to be a part of. That is, until I read it again and see the invitation list. Wisdom calls, "You who are simple, turn in here. To those without sense," she says, "come, eat of my bread. Lay aside immaturity, or more closely, foolishness. The simple, those without sense, the immature, the foolish." Well, this party is for someone else. I have no place at that meal. I am a complex, nuanced, and mature person, thank you very much. And I'm not about to call any of you simple, without sense, immature, foolish. That would be very foolish indeed. So that was nice. Let's just close up the book. Lovely story, really. Nothing to do with us. Unless the simple might be those who have a one-track mind sometimes. Those who are the people that can get so wrapped up in themselves that they have trouble seeing other possibilities or a fuller picture or beyond the end of their own nose. Because sometimes I'm that kind of simple. Like those times when I know I'm right. Most often at home. It's remarkable how often I'm right at home. And it's music to my ears to hear it. Okay, so maybe I can be a little simple in that. Maybe even a little immature. Unless, if I am honest, the simple are those who lack understanding, who cannot see a way through, the ones who cannot find answers in the midst of questions, tough questions and troubles, those who are having trouble knowing the right way forward when a decision needs to be made. Yeah, sometimes I'm that kind of simple too, and I get discouraged, and I get frustrated and weary. Sometimes I truly do not know what to do. Unless the simple are those who are having trouble seeing hope in the world anymore. The bad news has grown to such a point that sometimes it seems impossible to know that there is good. And that good news about the low-carb diets, well, it just doesn't cut it. There was a lot of bad news and sorrow to wade through before finding that frivolous little piece. In Italy, in Syria, in Canada's western provinces, in Canada's eastern provinces, sometimes I am the kind of simple that struggles to find hope. So maybe there is something to Wisdom's invitation. Maybe her party is worth checking out. The house is built. The pillars are hewn. The meat is ready, or the portobello mushrooms if you prefer. The table is set. Everything is ready. You that are simple, turn in here. Come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live, and walk in the way of insight. Come in, sit down, and take it all in for a moment. Look at those pillars again. They have been there since the foundation of the world. They are carved with stories of wondrous beauty and creativity, of fears faced and courage found, of great sorrow, but of greater love, and of deep, unending hope. And look around at the people who are at table with you. Imagine what the conversation around this table, hosted by wisdom, could be. She's here with her words of instruction, her handy little book of Proverbs. But you're not the only guest. Just as we are reminded every time that we come to this communion table, that at Christ's table we are surrounded by a host of people, not only those who are like-minded, but those with whom we have little in common, even those who we would think are our enemies. So it is at wisdom's table. So as you sit there, looking at the space, looking at those around you, listening, whose wisdom are you benefiting from in conversation? Whose opposing view are you learning to hear and consider? How are you being challenged to let go of your own need to be right? What wisdom are you being invited to share? What are those words of encouragement that you are hearing? Have you heard the stories of those who have made it through the tough times? Have you heard wisdom's invitation to live? And look at the bread and wine again. You've seen it before, haven't you? Is it possible that Jesus is somehow here too? It's familiar, isn't it? Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." And Jesus' table is, through the centuries, tied to wisdom's table, both inviting us to life, both steeped in metaphor. But in Jesus, the metaphor becomes flesh. The bread of life becomes flesh. The invitation to life is made real. And suddenly, this isn't just some imaginary table in some imaginary space. Wisdom's table is a sacred place, a refuge, the place where God dwells, the place where love is, where life is. Now look at the rest of the table. It is abundant. There is no lack here. Everything has been made ready. Every detail is attended to. There is nothing for it but to take a mouthful of food and enjoy. Rest from your wandering and know that you will be fed. Know that you are not a stranger at this table. It is prepared for you. You are welcome here. You who need to be right, and you who need to feel in control, lay that aside for a moment and listen to the life-giving voices around you. You're not in charge at this table. This is wisdom's table. Rest in that. You who lack understanding, who can't see a way forward, lay that aside and listen to the stories that are being told. Look for them carved on the pillars and rest. There may be something creative at work among you and around you. You who can no longer find hope, come to this table, this dwelling place of God, and be filled. Be filled by goodness, by beauty. Be filled in this call to rest. Know that rest is okay. Rest in the one who leads you beside still waters. Rest in the one who has made this sacred place flesh and blood, and who calls you to live. Taste and see that God is good. Okay, so I'm not leaving. Wisdom's lovely house of dreams and hope will do very nicely as a dwelling place, thank you very much. Except for that final piece of wisdom's call, lay aside foolishness and live, and walk in the way of insight. Inasmuch as this feast is a refuge and a place of healing, this isn't a feast to grow stagnant at. This is a table to be changed at. We may come to it stuck, discouraged, and without vision or understanding, but at this feast we are nourished so that we can live and move. Wisdom calls those who hear her to step aside and find out what it means to dwell and rest in God's presence. And then from that presence, find strength and hope to live well and find life itself. Sisters and brothers, wherever you find yourself in this moment, I hope that you hear wisdom's call. I hope that you know that you are invited to discover God at work in you and around you, invited to discover God calling you to table, to nourishment, to fullness, invited to sit down at wisdom's table and to taste and see that God is good. Amen. Thanks be to God.